It's better to be high on yourself and wrong than low on yourself and right. If you're feeling left out or down in the dumps, learn to control and dominate the world with your mind. Get Emerson Dameron's Metabomb, now available on Bandcamp.
It's 2020. I'm Emerson Dameron. Earlier this year, I had an ego death experience. I had a weird 2019 all around. Things were going superficially well. I had been doing all right with my depression for a couple of years after I started doing ketamine therapy, which seemed like the one thing that was getting results. I was feeling restless, so I was engaged in a lot of different activities. Meditation, writing practice was going nuts. I was doing live storytelling shows around Los Angeles, meeting new people, making friends, having a good time, but something did not seem right. I had a pervasive and painful and escalating feeling that something was off. I had an intuition, a premonition, a sense of foreboding that a lot of what I believed in was not solid. A lot of what I assumed was incorrect, and that things were gonna get pretty gnarly pretty soon. And sure enough, that's what happened. I had an experience over the holidays and in early January and February of 2020 that was like a lot of other life experiences, and there's a variety of things that can trigger this sort of transitional ego death experience, but the effect was that it just happened to be the thing that took out the one block in my Jenga tower that the rest of it, unbeknownst to me, was resting upon, and the whole thing just toppled. And I was questioning everything about my reality. Everything felt as though it was somehow contingent on this one thing that had gone horribly, humiliatingly wrong. And I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I believed. I was questioning everything, and there were no answers. And it was excruciatingly painful. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep for weeks on end. I was losing weight. I was moving around incessantly. Like, I could not stop taking long walks around town, around the streets, and wandering into these expanses of suburban nothingness and just wondering what the hell is left. What is my life going to be? Can I get through this? I don't know. I'm just overwhelmed with fear and anger, and all of my memories are poisoned. Everything I believe in is nothing, and I feel psychological and physical anguish 24 hours a day. It permeates my dreams. It soaks everything that I do. I try to find any distraction to take my mind off of this, even for a moment. I'm Emerson Dameron, and this is Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes. made possible by Kaechong, 1630 AM in Chinatown, Los Angeles, kaechongradio.org. The designated show website is medicated-minutes.com. I am Emerson Dameron. I am the writer, producer, creator. I do the show. And today we're talking about ego death, ego meltdown experiences. And there is no need to get too specific, because any number of things can fall under this category. It is all about set and setting and context and endless chains of causality of what brings you into a place, into a moment where something can happen that will set off a chain reaction and cause all of your Jenga blocks to go flying, knock down all of your dominoes, and just pulverize your ego so that everything you believed goes up in smoke. Common ones, of course, divorce, loss of a job, sometimes just middle age will do it, approaching a life transition where you feel like you are not ready. Death of a child, I can only imagine what that's like. Losing your parent can do it. And maybe sometimes it can just happen. Like a bad psychedelic drug experience is how it happens for a lot of people. Or just some penguin falls off an iceberg somewhere and your ego is crushed and you have to resituate yourself in a new reality for which you are ill prepared. And what happened for me is that I just realized I made an ego investment that blew up in my face in a horrible way. And that's usually how it goes. There's your part of your identity is tied to a belief that you take for granted. A lot of other beliefs kind of congeal around that one belief so that everything you believe is affected by that belief, that filter through which you perceive reality that determines what kind of information you think is important. You take in all kinds of information at all times. There's only so much of it that we can focus on at any one given time, and that is determined by our belief system. And sometimes all it takes is one belief. Things pop off in the wrong direction. For a while, you can spin your interpretation of events in such a way that it fits the narrative. And that's what happens when you have to deny your gut feelings and you have to override your instincts. And that alone can mess you up even further, because then you're turning your back on your best source of information, because you need to hang on to a narrative, because so many other things in your life are contingent on that narrative staying consistent. So you make deals and you make compromises and you do anything and everything that you can to try to keep that story going. But then the time comes when undeniably it's just not true anymore. And then you probably fight even harder to keep believing in it. And you bleed and bleed and start to lose trust in yourself and your own faculties. And then at some point you have to accept what's going on. And it is excruciatingly, exquisitely painful. A real ego meltdown is ended a lot of people's lives. Some people end up in a hospital or dead. And some people make really big changes and come out much different, much wiser, and with different hopes and beliefs and expectations than before. An ego meltdown is not for everyone. You know, it's worth asking yourself, every now and then, checking in and asking yourself why you believe what it is that you believe. I can almost guarantee you it's not because it comes from an accurate read on what's really going on in the world. That would be putting the last thing first. What you see and perceive in reality is filtered through the beliefs that are mostly pre-existing. I believe that a lot of it comes together when you're pretty young, like ages 5 through maybe 12 on the outside, before you are deliberately making judgments about things. A lot of it's modeling the parents, absorbing what society expects of you or the other kids around you. Sometimes the beliefs get modified for different reasons. Sometimes because we think through our beliefs and we test them and realize that there's more to life and we get more out of life if we reframe our experience in a different way, and we can do that consciously. More often, it's because of convenience, utility, peer pressure, or we'll change our minds about something all of a sudden and do a total 180. And instead of believing one thing, believe the opposite thing for a while. And usually that boomerangs to some degree. Sometimes we end up in a good place. More often, we ping pong back and forth between extremes, as humans are wont to do in our quest to be interesting. Sometimes, if we're fortunate, our beliefs are aligned with our values, the things that really matter to us, deep down in the subconscious zone that we can barely access. We want connection. We want achievement. We want pride. We want real love. Sometimes our beliefs help us get there, and sometimes they mess us up pretty hard. But most of the time, we don't really decide what to believe. And some of the things we believe are very stupid. And those are the things that we tend to cling to the hardest, because we don't really want to examine them. We don't want to find out that they are stupid, because then we might be stupid, and we do not want to believe that we're stupid. So we keep those beliefs slightly out of reach, where they can have all kinds of influence on our lives and our actions, and we can't do a whole lot to get in there and rewire them. And when you have a lot of beliefs like that, when you made a lot of investments without really checking what's up and what's down and what's going on in your ego investment portfolio, that's when you're a prime candidate for an ego meltdown. In my case, it was something very close to my heart that I based a lot of my pride and my sense of self, my sense of safety, my sense that my narrative, my story of my life had gone well in the end, that I'd survived a lot of things that were painful, and that this belief was now my proof that things were okay. That things worked out for me, and that I had this one thing to take for granted safely. So I ignored a lot of evidence that things were going wrong in that department. I got messages from my gut, from my instincts, and I said, I'll deal with this later. I want to keep believing what it is I believe. Because I knew when that time came, it was not going to be a fun experience. And maybe you've already had an ego meltdown experience. Maybe you feel one coming on. If you haven't, check. What is it that you believe? What is it that is important for you to continue believing? And what have you not checked in on in a while? What have you continued to believe without really thinking about it? It's a good idea to check in once in a while and see how you're doing. Thank you. One thing that was unusual about my ego death experience in the greater scheme of things is that it happened right before the novel coronavirus came into my life and your life, and I would venture to say all of our lives. I think this is a worldwide deal. I don't think things are going to be the same. I think it's going to be like World War II or the Kennedy assassination, at least as a defining collective experience where there was everything that came before COVID-19, and now there's going to be everything that came after COVID-19, and then there are going to be the things like my ego meltdown that came right at the crux. And I would like to say that the virus and the lockdown and all of that put my own petty little problems into perspective. And in a sense, it did. In another more embarrassing sense, it all became kind of a piece where everything was thrown into chaos. It wasn't just me, but at the same time, it was me. I had this unresolved crisis that I was dealing with, and then all of a sudden, the rest of the world is right there with me. And one of the things that I noticed that a lot of people get from an ego meltdown experience is this sense of connection. Because you lose your perspective when your belief system goes up in smoke. You forget a lot of what you thought made you special. Your opinions, your tastes, none of that really seems to matter quite as much, and you feel very connected to everyone and everything else. Which is inconvenient at a time when we're all locked up and isolated and social distancing. I've found ways to mitigate that. Been on a lot of Zoom calls. Still doing therapy. There is EMDR, which is my complex PTSD therapy of choice, is offered online. It's not quite the same. Nothing's quite the same. Nothing's gonna be the same. We are mourning the old world, and we're getting curious about the new one. And we are grieving. At the beginning of all of this, there were a lot of hustle bros on Twitter saying things like, if you don't start 3 new businesses and get in shape and create your own e-course during this lockdown, you're a bitch. And the truth is that it's a little hard to write a novel or get rich or get healthy or get your life together when you are grieving. And that's what we're doing. Some of us have lost people that we love. All of us have been affected in some way by the casualties. And we've all lost a sense of reality that we had before all of this got started. Assumptions about how things were and how things were going to be. Everyone who is perceptive and sentient right now has had to give up some of that. It's been, in many ways, a collective ego meltdown. And has that helped me with my own ego meltdown experience? Maybe a little bit. It is helpful to look around and see other people enduring the same things and coming up with creative ways to get through. I love being in Los Angeles right now because it's a city of hustlers. everyone already had five different things going on. People are creative. People are coming up with new ways to do things and adapting to new circumstances. And at the same time, we are all deep in mourning. There's no definite end to this. It could go on for any length of time. One of the ways that I've always survived bad experiences is by knowing that they were going to be over and having an idea of when they were going to be over. I got through college because I knew if I kept working in 4 years, I could leave and I could do something else. This is not one of those things. We don't know when or if anything like, not even the old world, because that's gone. We're giving up on that. But whatever it is that we want things to be like, we don't know if or when or how that's coming. This is an unpleasant experience of indeterminate length. It's a little bit like baseball. And I've never wanted to connect more with other people. A lot of my narrative in the past was avoidant behavior, not really having strong friendships, not connecting on deeper levels with people the way that I wanted to, because I had it in my head that I'm just not the kind of person that's adept at that. I'm proud, I'm private, I keep people at a distance. It's this close, but no closer. The ego meltdown stripped me of that. I was raw. I was naked to the world. And all of a sudden, I was supposed to keep at least a 6-foot distance from anyone that is not in my circle of intimates. So we find other ways to connect. And we start to rebuild, because you can't really go through life without beliefs for very long. You end up with them, and if you don't choose them deliberately, you end up with more bad ego investments. So there is always a little remodeling going on. I'm rethinking things, believing new things, recovering some of what mattered, revisiting, reclaiming some of my memories, taking what was good, believing what I was wrong about. I very much would like to touch and hug and be close physically in the same way that I feel in a human way. Because it's new, it's raw, and it's something that could be immensely pleasurable. Right now we are deep, deep in mourning. And it's important to keep that very much in mind. And to embrace absurdity. An appreciation for absurdity may be the best medicine right now. I think it's in phase 2 clinical trials as we speak. Our lives are made of stories. What we experience is based very little on what is going on in objective reality in the physical, material realm. It is based on pattern matching, a lot of bad assumptions, a lot of extremely bad future predictions that are loosely inspired by the very little bit of reality that we take in, which is determined by what we think is important, which is determined by the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves, which are based on beliefs, based on ego investments, based on who we want to think of ourselves as being, who we want to be in the world, how we want things to go. And it's fairly easy to tell some pretty limiting stories about ourselves. One of the big ones that I tell about myself is depression. Depression is a story that we tell ourselves about ourselves. It's also a medical condition, so I'm not discounting that. On some level, there are physiological, chemical things that are going on that we can't necessarily do anything about. It also takes the form in our interpretation of our experience. As a story, I am depressed. And I've been telling myself that story about myself since I was about 14 years old. I've always desperately wanted to connect. I have not always been adept at doing that in the ways that I wanted to be. It's been difficult. It's been anxiety provoking. It led to me being scared and lonely and upset a lot of the time when I was young. And eventually I kind of sought out depression as a relief from anxiety, particularly social anxiety. I got really tired. I got sad. I got down. I got this sort of sense of impacted anger turned against the self, where I didn't really know how to understand it. And then when I was a teenager, I discovered the concept of depression, which seemed to line up with a lot of what I was experiencing. And I started telling myself, okay, this is what I am. I'm depressed. It could be something going on in my chemical reality. It could be just the way I'm putting together my perception of events. I'm a depressed person. And I told some doctors about this, and they responded by putting me on a litany of antidepressant medications because they kept trying things and nothing seemed to be working. I was on Prozac, Pamelar, Desipramine, Paxil, lithium, which is not generally prescribed to 16-year-old boys, but was in my case because it was an experimental treatment for depression and they didn't know what else to try. So during my high school years, I was on this crazy cocktail of antidepressants. My brain was swimming in all of these chemicals and probably developed in a way that also was in alignment with my perception of myself as a depressed person. I know that when I finally got off of all of the medications, which happened because my psychiatrist abandoned his practice and went to be a missionary in Alaska and didn't tell anyone, and I had to get a new psychiatrist who said, yeah, this is insane, I'm taking you off of all of this stuff. I had a very different experience that summer, and it was wonderful. I felt alive in an entirely new way. I also felt very anxious again. The story changed. I had the same thing happen with alcoholism. I defined myself for many years as someone who could not function without being many sheets to the wind, fully in the bag through much of my life. And no matter how painful and embarrassing that was my story and I was sticking to it. And even after I quit drinking, I became what in AA parlance is called a dry drunk, because part of me still feels like that's the correct way to have a good time. And my old story was true in some sense, I continue to believe, and I have to fashion a new story around that sense of loss. That thing that I thought was not just fun sometimes, but necessary and worth the humiliating and sometimes life-endangering pain that it would bring into my life, that's how much it mattered to me. Those things are hard to let go. Changing that story is a lot of work. It is much easier to spin things so that they fit the existing narrative. And when you have to change your story, when you have an ego meltdown experience, you really need to take care of yourself and have some self-compassion, because you're going through it. And it's going to be hard. It may get worse before it gets better. And whoever comes out of this will not be the person who went into it. And you should probably avoid having an ego meltdown if you can help it. look, to reiterate, you really don't want to have an ego death, ego meltdown experience if there's any way you can avoid it. It's painful. In some cases, it is fatal. In some cases, you end up going nuts in a very real sense. And always, you are fundamentally changed in ways that you did not expect, anticipate, or in many cases, want. However, I think that it's a good idea to check in with your beliefs as much as you can, and at least periodically, every now and then, and change them and rearrange them and reframe them and tailor them and alter them as needed so that they will be of greater use. And outside of an ego death, ego meltdown experience, there are ways in which you can do this. Certain kinds of therapy are very good. I mentioned EMDR, which is recommended for post-traumatic stress disorder. It's all about reprocessing memories so that you can rethink your own narrative and have a little bit more agency over the stories that you tell yourself about yourself. That's good. Hypnotherapy, I've seen great things happen. Some people just need CBT, where they question their own thoughts in a methodical way. I think certain kinds of mindfulness meditation, try all that stuff. And in the meantime, another thing that works for me is work, creative work in particular, writing work, where you have a body of work that you build over time, or a project that you can throw yourself into. Maybe you get into a flow state where you kind of lose track of what you believe about yourself because you are behaving as though you've channeled something a little bigger. You can do work that is better than anything that you could have come up with if you've been thinking about it, because you develop unconscious competence in whatever it is that you're doing. So I would recommend playing an instrument or just doing something and doing it and doing it and loving the process until you get good. And that can definitely help you change your beliefs. Physical activity of any kind doesn't have to necessarily be athletic. Just moving around, taking long walks was something that started as a way for me to calm my nerves and turned into something that was very therapeutic and made me feel good. So have something like that. Get into nature if you can. I think being around the plants and the animals and the dirt and out where there's as much nature left as you're able to get. I love large bodies of water for this, but any way that you can get into a place where you're a little bit more in tune with the timeless rhythms of nature and gravity and natural processes, that can help. Psychedelic drugs do it for some folks. Those are powerful instruments, and you can have a lot of different experiences with that. A lot of them involve ego meltdowns. Sometimes, if the set and setting is right, it can be glorious. You can come back totally changed in wonderful ways. That is in no way guaranteed, but it's not going to be boring, and you are going to learn something. Just be cautious about that. Don't be stupid. Ultimately, I think what helped me the most was acting as if this is on me, that it's up to me to change and take responsibility for what is going on. And I don't think that's necessarily true. Almost everything that happens in the world is almost totally arbitrary. And it's not your fault if you're betrayed or hurt. People do awful things to each other. Hurt people, as the saying goes. And a lot of things happen that really aren't your fault. But I think that it helps if you can take the perspective of, I'm going to take responsibility for what of this experience is in my control. And I am going to make the best of it. Because you might find that the things that are in your control are pretty significant, and that you can accomplish a lot if you claim the significant amount of agency that you do have. Because you're smarter than you think you are, and you're more creative, and you're tougher and wiser. And you might really like the person that comes out of this, even if you don't recognize that person right away. This has been Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes. I'm Emerson Dameron. I'm the writer, producer, and host of the show, which is made possible by K-Chung. kchungradio.org, 1630 a.m. in Chinatown and beautiful Los Angeles, California. Go to medicated-minutes.com. Music has been by Ami Dong, used with permission, her wonderful meditation mixtape volume 1, which you can pick up on Bandcamp, along with some loops from my friend Chris Rogers. It's recorded in Los Angeles in the time of pandemic. We're all locked down, but we're connected in ways that we don't even really need to understand. Because once you start thinking about something, you start misunderstanding it just a little bit, sometimes in ways that are useful, more often in ways that are not. Decide what you're going to be wrong about and make sure that you're wrong about it in a way that serves you. And have some self-compassion, because this ain't easy. Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes, kchungradio.org. Levity saves lives.
I got to apologize. I own it. I'm sorry. I wish I had never said you don't have to pay your state taxes. You can quote unquote just keep all your money and not tell them. That's not true. Wish I'd never said it. Wish I'd never believed it. You can't just keep all your money and not tell them. The collection methods, give them away as keen readers of Iceberg Slim, determined to get paid their outstanding invoices. It's a keystone element of their sense of personal pride. They're gonna get their money. I need some kind of bone to throw them. The show is virtually free, but there's a PayPal tip jar, and you can figure out how to use it if you're smart enough to listen to the show. I have a bachelor's degree. I'm not for everyone. Send me some money, give it to K-Chung, or simply wire it to the California Franchise Tax Board. But do something. It's not a donation. It's an investment.